of you are excited to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Amen. Hallelujah. How many of you came here to work this morning? To do a little something? not so many amens. That's all right. We'll get you there. That's why we have worship to start the service. It's to kind of break the ice. It's to kind of set an atmosphere, set a mood, so that we can usher in the presence of the Lord. Amen? Because His presence is preceded by what? Praise. Amen? Can I get an amen? Amen. Is this thing on? Let's take a moment and just begin to lift Him up and just thank Him and ask God to forgive us of our sins today. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, I come before You right now and I ask that You would just be in this place with us today. God, I ask that You would just cleanse my soul, that You would just forgive me of any sins that I've committed against You, Jesus. You're worthy of the worship and praise that we're about to give You right now. You're worthy of everything that we can give You this morning. Jesus, I ask that You would just come down into this place, that Your Spirit and Your presence would just overtake us, God. Hallelujah, I give myself to You. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone says amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Hallelujah. We often say that I want to know you more, Jesus. I want to know you more. I want to get to know you better. I want to be a better servant to you. But we forget the part that comes before it in the course where it says, I surrender. Come on, church. Hallelujah. How many of you surrender right now to the power that is within us? Oh, yes. See, I surrender. I surrender. Just give him a hand clap of praise and lift our voice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our God is worthy. Hallelujah. See, when we surrender, when we give ourselves up to God, there's some things that can start happening in our lives. Hallelujah. How many of you brought some weights with you to church this morning? How many of you have been going through some things maybe this week, maybe last week? Maybe you're still waiting on God to take care of some things for you. There's a simple solution, and it's just giving that to God. Sometimes we want to hold on to something. Sometimes we want to just hold on to something so strong because we're afraid of change that can happen. We're afraid of change that can come. But I'm here to tell you right now that when it's change from God Almighty, that it's not change that you should fear, but it's change that you should embrace. It's something that you should welcome freely and openly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. If you've come here today with some chains, if you've come here today with some weights, there's something that you can do in this place. And it's just calling on the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord.
break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Oh yes, Lord, there's power in the name. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
To break every chain,
break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Oh yes, He's all sufficient.
All sufficient sacrifice, so freely given, such a price, bought our redemption, heaven's gates swing wide.
Oh, sufficient sacrifice,
oh sufficient sacrifice, so freely given, such a price, but our redemption, heaven's gates swing wide.
Oh, there's power in the name.
There is power in the name of Jesus. Oh, there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
You break them, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Oh, yes, Jesus. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There's an army, there's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. So break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Oh, there is power in the name of Jesus. chains falling. I hear the chains falling. Do you hear them, church? I hear the chains falling. If you feel them falling, I hear the chains falling. Lift your hands and worship Him. I hear the chains falling. I hear the chains falling.
Turn around and give a high five to somebody. Tell them you're glad to see them in the house of the Lord today. How many are thankful to be in the house of the Lord on this Sunday morning, worshiping the Lord, knowing that He has your best interest in mind? He has your best interest in mind. And He's forever faithful. One more time, could we just lift our hands all across this place? And right now, whatever your need is, whatever situation you're finding your life in right now, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I pray, God, right now, I take dominion over every thought that's not like You in Jesus' name. I pray right now, oh God, move in every situation, move in every home, oh God, move in every life, whatever it is right now, in the name of the Lord Jesus, let it come subject to Your name, let it come subject to Your name, Jesus. Come on, somebody, I hear chains breaking right now. I hear chains breaking right now. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, oh Lord Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Would you right now maybe just put your hand on the shoulder of the person next to you if you feel comfortable enough doing it. There's many needs and many situations going on around us, and more than anything, we need the hand of God to reach down and touch. We've got many that are battling sicknesses, and some are just going through various situations that we just need God to move in. And so right now, would you lift that? Would you just pray with the person next to you? Of course, lifting up the name of Jesus, but yet at the same time, connecting one with another, knowing that you are not alone, that God knows exactly where you are. Come on, lift your voice right now. Just as one voice, could we just begin to talk to the Lord? Lord, right now, You know everything. You know the situations. You know the issues, oh God. I pray right now in the name of the Lord Jesus, touch every need. Touch every need in Jesus' name. Oh God, we need You right now to break every chain, oh God. Lord, loose our minds from the moments of torment. I pray it right now in Jesus' name. Loose our minds from the torment, oh God. God, I pray healing right now in Jesus' name. I pray healing right now in Jesus' name. I pray healing all across this place. I pray for every emotional situation, God, every decision, Lord Jesus. I put it before You, oh God, knowing that You will work a great work. Lord Jesus, right now, God, all across this place, I pray, God, that You will move and break chains. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Come on, somebody, let's clap our hands. The writer who wrote that, oh, clap your hands, all you people, he literally was saying that's exactly what chains sounded like breaking to him. Is when we clap our hands, it sounds like shackles are falling off. It sounds like bondage is being broken. It's the anointing that destroys the yokes. It's the anointing that destroys the yokes. And whatever is your life is yoked up with, I say today, in the name of the Lord Jesus, it can and will be broken. One more time, clap your hands unto the Lord. I know we've got announcements, we got things, but I just kind of wonder if on this cold, brisk Sunday, could you maybe step out from where you are and maybe just find somebody just to connect with? And I want you right now, you don't have to give specifics, but would you just find somebody and say, what can I pray with you about? Amen. It just so happens that when we connect with each other, that lets them know, hey, we're all human and we all have issues and we all have battles and you're not alone in this. You're not alone. Right now, come on, somebody, just start praying for that person that you're connected with right at this very moment. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, that's right. In the name of Jesus. Yes, that's right. In the name of Jesus. Yes, in the name of the Lord Jesus right now. Come on, somebody. Come on, just pray with that person right there. Wherever you are, you need the hand of God to move. Yes, in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I pray, God, right now, strength to go forth. I pray right now, God, that anxieties will leave. I pray against the spirit of oppression and depression. I pray it right now in the name of the Lord Jesus. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done, oh God. It is not your will that we be linked up with these things. Right now, I pray, God, give us the victory in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we prayed in Jesus' name. Let strength come. Let your strength come. Your strength is made perfect in our weakness. Your strength is made perfect in our weakness. Thank you, oh God, that when I am weak, you make me strong. That when I don't know what to do, oh God, you move. Oh God, when I don't know where to go or who to turn to, Jesus, I thank you right now. You are forever faithful, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Yes, 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 yes. I love you, Jesus. Oh, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, God, for what you're doing already, Lord. You have begun a work, Jesus, and you will begin to complete it even now, Lord. I pray the anointing in Jesus' name. I pray your power to be manifested in our lives, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. My. This is what happens when you walk into a spirit-filled and a spirit-led church, that we let God move how he chooses to move. Aren't you thankful that we let God move how he chooses to move? Come on, somebody. My. Thank you, Jesus. Turn around and give a high five to somebody. Tell them how happy you are to see him in the house of God, and you may be seated for a few moments. Spirit of the Lord is moving here. Spirit of God is already in this place. Spirit of God is talking to us already. Aren't you thankful that God has a way of just breaking down barriers and He has a way of just, it doesn't matter what we're facing. The beauty of it all is we're on level ground at the foot of the cross. We all have needs. We all have situations. We all have life to go through. But He's faithful. He is faithful. Amen. I'm going to ask our ushers to come and receive our morning tithes and offerings. But while they're doing that, following service today, there will be a baked potato fundraiser, which will be a free will donation. So what that really means is we didn't put it, the price wasn't put on it because they want you to be very generous about it. Amen. Is that why you did that? She's lying. She wants all your money. Going to the Davis family's mission trip in Fiji next summer. And so I guess if you don't have any money, please take some with you. But really, if you have money, unload it. Amen. This coming Saturday, we're having a meeting at the church at 10 a.m. to go over Easter invitations. Easter is only 3 weeks away, folks. Can you believe that? Only 3 weeks away, and we've got invitations here that need to be handed out, and just all kinds of great things happening. Ladies, if you'd like to attend the annual mother-daughter banquet this year, sign up in the foyer as soon as possible. Amen. Also, if you're wanting to be a worker at church camp this summer, we have forms. Please see my wife. They're due back early, April the 15th. Registration for camps will be opening here very soon. Break-in fellowship will be coming up sooner than later, next Sunday. And so if you haven't partaken of a break-in fellowship, Sister Debbie, just raise your hand. If you haven't had the chance to take part of something so great, well, talk to her about it. She will certainly tell you about the great things. There's many needs and many situations that are going on in people's lives, and God needs to just move and heal. There's some sicknesses that some are facing that they need God to heal and move in. And we want to continue to pray for the Puente family. Sister Nancy's father, yes, he passed away. The funeral was already. But we want to pray God to strengthen them as they begin to navigate the next few weeks even and days without caring for somebody. And so we want to pray for them that God will continue to give them strength. Sister Pauline's brother passed away, and we want to keep praying for the Blazer family. They did get a miracle the other day. Her brother, who has cancer and been very, very sick, and he was taken to the emergency room. He had pneumonia, I believe it was, and didn't really. His oxygen level was 66, and so if you know anything about that, you're barely breathing. But God moved in a great way, and we're thankful that he's still here, and he's doing much better, and we're grateful for the miracle that God is doing. Amen. But keep him and the family in prayer. Brother Mike Lichty, he's not been able to be here for a few weeks, not feeling well. Sugar is kind of changing his meds on him. He texted me this morning, let me know he wasn't feeling well. So pray for him. Let's all stand. I know I told you could sit down. That was just to kind of give you the pause. I figure if I'm standing, maybe we all could stand. I don't know. I got this watch that tells me, it encourages me that I'm standing, and I don't understand that. What is so great about standing? We'll find out here later on. But also, it tells me when I've accomplished goals. I set my goals really low so I could just demolish them and feel good about myself. Yeah, so I can look at it, and it's giving me like an attaboy, and you're doing a great job, you're doing this, and I'm like, holy cow, I feel good about myself. I'm going to go eat an ice cream cone later on. I'm going to eat baked potatoes. I'll have 2 baked potatoes. Amen. Every need and every situation. And we're going to pray that God will bless both the gift and the giver. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for what you're doing. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing. I pray right now for every situation. I pray for every need. I pray healing continue to go forth, Lord. I thank you for what you're doing in our lives. I pray right now that you will bless both the gift and the giver, and we give you the honor, we give you the praise. And everybody say, in Jesus' name, come and give as unto the Lord. Take about 30 seconds. Let somebody know how happy you are to see him in the house of God. If you're not happy, at least act like it. Amen. And God bless you.
Worship you. Yes, Jesus.
generation. We are your people, crying out in desperation. Oh, in desperation. Hallelujah. In 2 Chronicles chapter 17, verse 14. It's where this song comes from. And it says, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear them from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. But I want to show something here. He doesn't just give us these things. There's a caveat in there. It says, if my people, which are called by my name, if my people. See, if we don't humble ourselves, if we don't surrender ourselves to Him, then it's going to be more difficult to receive that healing. It's going to be more difficult to receive that blessing. It's going to be more difficult for Him to hear us from heaven. We've got to be surrendered to Him. We've got to be on our knees asking Him for forgiveness. There's some things that we've got to do in our lives so that He can hear us clearly. Hallelujah. How many of you want to put that into practice? You don't want it to be an if. You want it to be when. When I humble myself. When I do these things for your kingdom, you're going to hear my voice, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many of you are ready to humble yourselves before the Lord? Oh, yes, Lord. Restore our lands. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This song is a personal prayer. The verse says, Lord, hear our cry. Come heal our lands. Breathe life into these dry and thirsty souls. How many of you are thirsty for the presence of God? Hallelujah. Lord, hear our prayer. Forgive us of our sins. And as we call on your name, would you make this a place for your glory to dwell? I want my home. I want my land. I want my heart to be a place where His glory can dwell. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, and hear us from heaven, hear us from heaven, hear us from heaven, hear us from from heaven, hear us from heaven, and hear us from heaven, hear us from heaven, hear us from heaven, yes Lord, yes Lord, and hear us from heaven, hear us from heaven. Hear us from heaven, oh hear us Lord, and hear us from heaven, hear us from heaven, hear us from heaven, and open the blind eyes, unlock the deaf ears, and come to your peace. As we draw near to you, hear us from heaven, and touch our generation, we are your people, crying out in desperation, we're crying out in desperation, Lord, hallelujah. Thank you.
Seated. Sister Helen, it's so good to see you today. Had surgery. Praise God. Had surgery on Monday, and due to the amount of breathing treatment she has to have, she can't be where she wants to be. Well, praise God. That's awesome. We're thankful for that. Fight the good fight. Fight the good fight. Look at somebody and say, see my finger, see my thumb. Come on, somebody. Come on. You know you want to. You've been waiting all day for this moment. See my finger, see my thumb. See my fist, you better run. My little niece, she's knee-high to a jump bug, I guess. How old is Everly? She's 3 years old, and when I had that blockage, she FaceTimed me, and she said that very thing, because she said, I'm her punch buddy. That means I don't get to do anything but be beat up by this little three-year-old, and she comes up and pulverizes me and beats me up, I guess, but I said, Everly, you see my finger, see my thumb, see my fist, you better run. Unfortunately, she went to school, or whatever they call that, and she said that to some of them. I said, boy, I tell you what, your dad's teaching you the wrong things. One more time, say, see my finger, see my thumb. Fight the good fight. I will not at all attempt to paint our enemy of our soul as being glorious or victorious, but what I can say is he is relentless. He is oppressively constant. He shows or promises no abatement of severity, intensity, or the pace of his attacks. He is relentless. Matter of fact, understanding that it's both prophetic yet also applicable to even insert here is Revelation chapter 12 and verse 12. The devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth he hath but a short time. You hear me today? The enemy understands that he has a window of time to work with. So he goes all out with his schemes and attacks. He has but a short time. And Peter, a man who understood the feelings of defeat, despair, doubts, denials, and even was personally attacked on all kinds of different levels, he wrote a warning to us all, and it goes like this. 1 Peter 5 and 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking or plotting after whom he may devour. And that word devour, and I know we're going to have some food afterwards, but I want you to get in your mind this very picture. It means to not just consume, but it means to gulp down or to drink down. Picture a lion now. After catching its prey, that lion raises its head up out of the carcass in front of it. And the blood and the entrails just drip off the beard of that lion. And that's exactly what Peter is trying to say to us today, that the enemy of our soul is a roaring lion. He is a seeking lion. He wants to devour you and I. And no, Peter was not at all referencing the enemy of our soul as necessarily an incarnated animal, yet he was using this metaphor to describe the enemy, showing us a different but more thorough understanding of the important characteristic of the enemy of our soul. So Peter wanted to make this fact clear. So he used a metaphor. He used a word picture on how our enemy works. He is a roaring lion, seeking whom he might devour, who he could literally destroy, but then get inside and just eat from the inside out. Made you hungry, didn't I? Forgive me as I go a little Nat Geo on us. But, and it sounds a little repetitive, but here are a few real facts about lions. A lion is not only a great hunter, but it also is a scavenger. A lion feeds also on what others kill. A lion pays attention to its surroundings. It notices the vultures are circling in the air. And we know, of course, vultures circle dead things, unmoving things. Lions kill their prey by asphyxiation. Lions at times hunt in groups and are capable of taking down most animals, even healthy adult prey. Lions have been known to eat as much as 90 pounds of meat in a single setting. And the Apostle Peter was very much correct in describing the enemy of our soul as a roaring lion. The devil is most certainly a lethal predator. He is a lion, and not just any lion. He is a roaring lion. And here are some facts. Again, forgive me for going a little bit on the zoo trip with us, but here's a few facts about a roaring lion. Roaring lions roar for the sake of communicating. Lions are noticed to be roaring mostly at night. It is at night that the lion is most active. They only roar when they're in their own territory. Lions do not generally roar when they are on the hunt as well, for the reason of not wanting to warn their prey. The roar is about establishing a presence, a territory, and even communication. A male lion uses its roar to show ownership of the said territory. You see, in Scripture, Peter referred to this predator as a roaring lion. For you see, Peter said it like this. He roars in order to communicate with the dark forces that surround him. He roars to let opposition know that they are approaching his domain. The devil, the roaring lion, he is a predator of the night. He is on the prowl, and he most certainly hits us at dark moments. Anybody ever have a dark moment in your life? It doesn't matter what it is or how it looks like, but it's dark for you. And the problem with your dark moment is that you're not alone in that, because we have a predator on our trail. We have a roaring lion. He scavenges for the weak, the sickly, the wearisome, the lost, and even the spiritually dead. The spiritual predator of sorts, he kills by asphyxiation. He suffocates the breath out of us. He attacks the weaker ones. That way he won't overexert himself. He's aware of his surroundings, and he's most certainly aware when something wanders into their territory. And don't forget, a lion has to eat every single day. Every day there is a prowling lion after us. Every single day there is an enemy of our soul that wants to capture you and make meat out of you and wants to make game out of you. Look at somebody and say, fight the good fight. Just point your finger and your thumb at somebody. You know what that means, don't you? See my finger, see my thumb, see my fist, you better run. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And Jesus, speaking in words that we would understand, said this in Luke 10:19, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. And believe you me, I'm just as happy as anyone that this is not at all. Jesus was not at all referencing our handling of real snakes and scorpions. Aren't you thankful for that today? You start busting one of those things out, this joker is out that door, even if it is closed. Somebody said that they lived in Texas, some people I know, and it was a first for them because they were cleaning a house, and in 20-some years of cleaning houses, it was a first because they lifted the rug in the foyer, and there was a dead snake laying underneath the rug. There was actually a snake here in the church. Yeah, it was out by that water little fountain deal. Now, look at that. We won't have to buy any more cups. The kids are going to be scared to death of the snakes that live. And I'm going to tell you, well, when I seen that thing, I screamed like a schoolgirl. I'm telling you. My son pointed it out to me. I didn't even know it. There's a dead bird laying out here. I said, oh, my God, what are we going to do with that? And he said, well, we're just going to have to get a shovel. And I'm just like walking away. I don't even want to get near that stuff. But we're thankful that Jesus was not at all referencing the handling of serpents and scorpions. And we're thankful for that. And he spoke many times in parables. And again, he was using this metaphor to describe the enemy of our soul, showing us and giving us a more understanding of the characteristics of the subject matter at hand. Jesus was telling us about serpents and scorpions just to allow us to understand how the enemy works. You see, Peter said he's a lion, a roaring lion. And Jesus said he is a serpent and he's scorpions. And he wanted to make the fact clear. So he used this metaphor to show us how our enemy works. He is a serpent, attacks like a serpent, and even mimics a scorpion. I've said this so often, but again, there's necessity of repeating. Remember that serpents are devious and cunning. They understand their surroundings. They wait until they're certain they're going to get what they want. And when they feel threatened, they lie in wait and then they attack. They strike from the front, whereas a scorpion, on the other hand, he works a little differently. You see, a serpent, it waits for its moment. It waits patiently to strike you. But then a scorpion, he acts a little different. And so Jesus is wanting to paint a word picture for you and I to understand the characteristics of our enemy, that the devil can sit and wait all day long, waiting for a moment to strike. And at the same time, not only is he described as a serpent, but he is described as a scorpion. You see, according to arachnologists, they state, scorpions hunt their prey by either ambushing or actively going after them. Once it locates its prey, the scorpion captures it with its pincers. The scorpion then stings its prey to subdue it. You see, they sting the prey by striking it with its tail. And both the scorpion and serpent are venomous in their own right. They both attempt to hit you when you least expect it and paralyze you to where you might feel like you cannot overcome them. And have you ever wondered, where does the venom of a snake bite even go? Not to the bones, but rather the venom affects the nervous system. You think it's by accident that when we are spiritually bitten or spiritually stung or, you know, been pursued, actively ambushed by the enemy of your soul. Do you realize it's not by accident that when something like this happens, your emotions get all out of whack? Huh? Anybody ever notice that? That, you know, you're having great church, you're serving God. We come off 10 days of prayer and then crazy comes out. Huh? Yeah. It's without fail. The car breaks down. You name it, anything, the septic tank overflows into the house. Huh? Anybody ever have days like that? Yeah. But for some reason that when the enemy strikes, it affects the nervous system. And that is why spiritually Jesus, as well as Peter, they knew what they were talking about, because Peter says he's a roaring lion. He's seeking whom he might devour. He understood that a lion has to eat every single day. And Jesus understood and understands that a serpent and yet a scorpion are venomous in their own rights. And when you're struck by it, when you are bitten by it, it will literally mess with your mind. It messes with our nerves. It messes with our emotions. But how does a snake venom affect the human body? Well, herpetologists state this regarding the venom of a snake. Neurotoxic venom tends to act more quickly, attacking the nervous system and stopping nerve signals getting through to the muscles. This means paralysis starting at the head, moving down the body. If untreated, the diaphragm is paralyzed and the patient can't breathe. You see, it's not by accident that Jesus described the enemy of our soul and his ability to literally paralyze us, starting from the head, working its way down. It's a terrible feeling to not be able to breathe. And the more the heart rate gets elevated, the quicker the poison flows. Amen. Anybody ever have an asthma attack? Anybody ever have Sister Helen? It's a terrible thing not to be able to breathe. And the more you try to gasp, the more your heart rate goes up. Am I correct? And then you start breathing harder and you begin to hyperventilate. And that's exactly here what happens in Scripture, that Jesus on purpose uses this very thing, the venom of a snake and the pinch of a scorpion, because he understands that their venom will literally make you overreact, knee-jerk, and you'll start flailing around. And when you start acting up and down, your emotions are this way and that way. Guess what? He knows if I could get their heart pumping, it's just going to flow everywhere else. You see, that's exactly how our enemy works. It's a terrible thing. It's not by accident that we get spiritually bit or spiritually stung, that our emotions start going all over the place. It's not. But hear me clearly today. If we walk under the covering and the mandates of God Almighty, these scriptures will back you up. Psalms 91:7, 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it's not going to come nigh you. If you can walk under the right covering, nothing shall by any means hurt you. Come on, somebody, would you stand to your feet and thank God that we've got power over the works of the enemy. Shout hallelujah. And Jesus said this in Matthew 16:19, and I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. We just got to stick with it and keep on fighting. And Jesus said in Luke 10:19, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Why don't you one more time clap your hands if you really believe that? Oh, the devil only has but a short time, and he's either going to try to pursue you, ambush you, or wait for you. But no matter what, if we read the back of the book, he still wins. If God's on your side, you still got the answer. I said this earlier, and I referred to the scripture in Revelation 12:12. And I understand that it is prophetic in nature, but yet it is most applicable for us today. And that is simply this: the devil has come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth his time is short. He knows he's but got a window. The enemy understands that he's got just enough time to fight. And so he goes all out with his schemes and attacks, and sometimes the only way any one of us will survive them is if we fight it. See my finger. See my thumb. See my fist, you. Yeah, I've said that to my kids a few times, obviously. My mother growing up, and it's not considered good advice today because everybody's either a victim or their feelings get hurt. But my mother always told us, you never pick a fight, but you never run one from one either. She did. She said, boys, you never pick a fight, but if you ever run from one, I'm going to spank you when you get home, and you're going to fight me. And we didn't want that, because she swung a mean baton. And then she said this, and if anyone is ganging up on your brother or your sister, if I so much as hear as you walked away and you didn't stick up for them, I'm going to spank you when you get home. Now, I understand that we probably can't talk like that today, so if you didn't like it, be offended, but get over it, because you want to go to heaven. That's exactly what the enemy wants to do. He wants to corner us, wear us out. But that's when you and I need to stand up and fight for somebody else. Come on, somebody. You and I, we need to. We need to step up for our brother or step up for our sister. The Apostle Paul instructed Timothy, his young protege, 1 Timothy 6:12. He said, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Not only is Paul instructing Timothy to fight, but also to lay hold onto eternal life. We'll talk about that fighting here in a second part, but let's move quickly past that and address this issue, laying hold on eternal life. Let me first say this. There is nothing, there is no thing more important than your personal walk with the Lord. There is not one single thing in this world more important than your walk with Jesus. Every day, we got to figure it out. We got to fix our mind. Every day, I'm going to walk with Jesus. Serving God, you won't serve God, and you certainly won't get to heaven by accident. But you and I, we've got to make a purpose every single day and be intentional about it. That as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You see, eternal life is not elusive, but it will take up a made-up mind to get there. It's not unattainable. We just need to get persuaded about it. Eternal life is not elusive from us. It's certainly attainable. We just must get a persuaded mindset. In this text, lay hold on eternal life. It literally means this, to aggressively take, to lay hold on something, showing personal initiative and focused resolve. That means once my mind's made up, nothing will deter me, nothing will shake me, nothing will get me away from my eternal salvation. That's why Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, 37, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded. Look at somebody saying that right now. I am persuaded. Now you got to say it with a preacher voice, okay? I know some of you do that. Come on, somebody say, look at somebody say, kind of make it sing it. Yeah, it feels good, don't it? It's like we got to make a declaration today. I am persuaded. That's what Paul is saying. I have a made up mind that nothing, that no thing can separate. I am persuaded. I am persuaded. I am persuaded. Says that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I like this one translation. It says it like this. I'm absolutely convinced. I'm absolutely convinced that nothing living or dead, angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, high or low, thinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love because of the way that Jesus, our Master, embraced us. I am absolutely convinced that nothing can get in my way. I've got a made-up mind. Shout amen. I am persuaded. I am persuaded. So Paul is telling us that eternal life is not elusive. But it will take a made up mind to get it. Paul is telling Timothy as well as us, get focused on eternal life. Show initiative to do whatever it takes to hold on to it. Show some personal resolve. Get a strong determination to just do it. Salvation is not some fleeting dream that cannot be had or attained by humanity. Jesus is for everyone. We just have to want him and his ways no matter what. And that's what I love about our Savior, that we might mess up, we might fall short, we might even feel like we aren't qualified, but Jesus is for everyone. Salvation is for everyone. So we just got to get persuaded. We got to get a made-up mind that I'm not going to let anything get in the way. And again, Paul instructed Timothy, his protege, 1 Timothy 6 and 12, fight the good fight of faith. Look at somebody again and say, see my fingers, see my thumbs, see my fist. Look at, turn around to somebody else and say that to them. Some of you are excited about that. He said this, fight the good fight. Telling us all these bad things that our kids are going to walk away. And now don't listen to that. You listen to the pastor, but don't listen to that one. Fight the good fight of faith. In another text of scripture, he writes this, Ephesians 6 and 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but it's against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. You see, Peter said the enemy of our soul is like a roaring lion. Jesus said, described the power of the enemy as a serpent and a scorpion. And now Paul is describing this fight, not being in the flesh, but being in the spirit. A few weeks ago, I think it was maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago on a Wednesday night, we talked about that very scripture. That word wrestle is a unique word. Paul used it in the fashion of seeing the games of Rome and of the Greeks being played out before him. He was no stranger to Roman and the Grecian games, no stranger to various races and such. He was also no stranger to the wrestling matches of their time. The Roman and the Grecian wrestling matches were up close and personal. See, in those times, and even today, a wrestler could feel the heat of their opponent's body. It's up close and personal. And Paul understood this. And so again, he's using this actual thing and relating it to a spiritual matter because he wants us to connect some dots here. He wants us to understand and fully become persuaded that nothing, no thing should separate us. So he's telling us, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Fight the good fight. He's not telling us to go punch out our enemies. He's not telling us to go beat down the door of a neighbor that plays his music too loud. Or, you know, if you live in an apartment building, throws a Super Bowl at your door and wall every single day at the same time. I had a neighbor that did that. Literally every single day at the same exact time, you'd hear that Super Bowl hit the ground, hit the wall, and then bounce back, and then hit the ground. I wanted to go and have a good heart-to-heart with him, but the guy attended the church, so I couldn't say anything. But you see, a wrestler, and Paul understood this, and so he's relating this to our day and time. He's saying a wrestler is up close and personal. The smell of sweat was up close and personal. The jarring blows were up close and personal. They would use their weight, their legs and arms to shake an opponent. Michael Polykoff of BibleArchaeology.com states this, and I quote, the occasional philosopher or doctor may have condemned the brutality of the danger of ancient athletics, but the Greek public nevertheless accepted a good deal of hazard, injury, and death. Combat sports were designed to be as physically taxing and uncomfortable as possible. This meant no time limits, no rounds, no rest periods, no respite from the midsummer sun. And according to some ancient authors, they state boxers could bear their opponent's blows more readily than the unremitting heat. And the combat athlete might have well gone from one hand-earned, hard-earned, and injurious victory straight into another round of competition. It just go from one fight to the next fight to the next fight. There were no weight classes, so the ambitious but yet the undersized athlete simply took his chances against larger competitors. See, in the event of a mismatch, the superior athlete was unlikely to show mercy, so he just squashed him. There were even matches that basically the only things that were not illegal were poking somebody in the eyes or breaking their fingers. It's the only thing. Although this did happen unbeknownst to the referee. And Paul said it like this, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. He told Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. And wrestle is, in the Greek, is a progressive verb. It's wrestling. It's a contest between two in which each endeavor to throw each other, and which is decided when the victor is able to hold the opponent down with his hand upon the neck of the opponent. It's a brutal, brutal battle. That's up close and personal. Look at somebody now and say, that's up close and personal. It is. And don't you think for a moment the devil doesn't know your weakness. He wants the fight to be personal. He does. He wants the fight to be personal. He wants to get in our heads and be able to say things when attempting to grapple with you. The devil wants to win by way of submitting you, putting his proverbial arm on your neck, snarl his teeth, hiss in your face, and watch the blood drain from your spiritual body. That's exactly what the enemy of our soul wants to do. He wants to get up close and personal and make it all about your weaknesses and how he can thrive on your weaknesses. It's a spiritual fight. And you and I need the tenacity to fight back and keep a grip on eternal life. Would you clap your hands unto the Lord? Does the enemy of our soul fight fair? Hardly. Does the devil want to wear us down? You better believe it. Our enemy has characteristics of a lion, a snake, a scorpion, and he does not fight fair. He wants it to be up close and personal. So how does he wear us down? Daniel 7:25, and he shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High. He's going to harass continually. Isn't that something? How we think that serving God ought to be easy. But it's not. And the reason is because you change sides. If he's not fighting you, guess what? He's already got you. Amen. Look at somebody say, fight the good fight. The mind is under attack. The body will be pursued like a lion after a gazelle. And yes, I understand that Daniel is speaking prophetically about an antichrist to come. But we must not forget there is a spirit of antichrist that has been belched forth from the pits of hell and is already at work today. 1 John 2:18, little children, it is the last time, as you have heard, that antichrist shall come. Even now there are many antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Folks, we know that the end is coming because there are many spirits that are against Christ or anti-Christ. We know it. It doesn't matter what side of any line you stand on. On any side we stand, politically or whatever, there's crazy on any side. Somebody say amen. It is antichrist. It's against our Lord, against his will, and against his purpose for our lives. And that spirit of lawlessness is causing God's people to be mentally worn down, emotionally derailed, and physically exhausted. I want to give us hope today. I'm not going to build up the devil. I'm going to tell us how to keep the victory and fight the good fight. It's personal, but we got to fight the good fight. That spirit of lawlessness is like a snake, a serpent, a scorpion, a roaring lion. It's attempting to hijack your life and my life. But here's some hope today. 1 John 4:4. You are God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. That gives me hope that God is on my side. That God is on my side. 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. Am I making that baby cry? I'm so sorry. But this fight is up close and personal. And the enemy of our soul doesn't fight fair. Doesn't. If he could plant the thought of you quitting, He certainly will. He will. If he could plant a thought of you walking away, believe you me, he will and he attempts to. If he could plant a thought of you feeling discouraged, worn out, that nobody loves you, nobody cares about you, believe you me, he will. He will. The enemy wants to manipulate our minds with anxiety, with fear, depression, loss of hope, loss of will to carry on, giving up and giving in. He's a thief, so he attempts to replace our joy with despair. He's a thief, so he hijacks our peace and replaces it with hopelessness. He's a thief, so he attempts to steal our faith and replace it with doubts and anxieties. And I would be lying to every one of us if I said, no one messes up, no one makes a mistake, no one has a bad day, everybody is perfect and no one falls short. I'd be lying if I said that. But I will attempt to tell us how to fight the good fight and attain that spiritual, eternal life. Are you ready for it? Somebody say amen. Because the more we shout amen, guess what? It's potato time. See? We're getting them warmed up, Brother Garrett. Getting them warmed up. I should be a promoter for spuds or potatoes. But here is how you and I can fight the good fight and win over the scorpion, the serpent, the roaring lion, and win in this war, this wrestling match that is up close and personal. Because, you know, when we're up close and personal, fighting and wrestling around, You hear the heartbeat of the enemy. It's when that enemy can talk into your ear. Huh? It's that fight that's personal, and so he understands and studies your weaknesses. Yeah. But here's how you and I can get the upper hand over our enemy. James chapter 4 and 7 says this. Maybe it sounds like Bible study. I don't know. James 4 and 7 says this. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And I've quoted it numerous times, but the late T.F. Tenney said this, the Reverend T.F. Tenney said this. You will either submit to God and resist the devil, or you will resist God and submit to the devil. And submit means to yield or surrender oneself to the authority of another. It means to subject to a condition or a process. It means to give in to the authority, the power, or the desires of another. It means to yield, to allow yourself to be subjected to something. Submission means the action or fact of accepting or yielding to a superior force or to the will or authority of another person. And I preached it last week when God puts his foot down. That literally means he has the final say. And where God plants his foot, he establishes power, his authority, which means my will must come into submission to his plan and to his purpose. And the only way that we're going to win this fight is if we willingly, hear me today, if we willingly give up our rights and will to the Lord. Because you're not going to win the battle on your own. If it had not been for the Lord, where would I be? The only way we're going to win this fight is if we submit ourselves to God. And yes, I might try to have it my way. And yes, I might think my personal motives are pure and right. And yes, I'll more than likely fail him. And yes, I'll more than likely fall short of my goals in serving him. But hear me today. Our submission to Jesus is key to the fight against the enemy of our soul. It is key. It is key. And I must give myself to Jesus. I must surrender my will to his will. I must submit my agenda to his agenda. And that's easier said than done. Somebody say amen. Amen. It's much easier said than done to not want to project my agenda or my plans or my thoughts onto others. It's difficult. when we say, okay, I can't do that, and we come under subjection to Jesus, you see, that's the only way we're going to overcome the enemy, is to literally put our thoughts aside and surrender to his will and his purpose. Would you clap your hands unto the Lord? You want to win the fight? You want to win the fight? Give yourself up to God and let him fight your battles. There it is. Fight the good fight. If we could all stand and musicians come. Fight the good fight. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God, and then resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We get excited about that resisting part because that gives us, we feel good about it. I mean, it feels good. When you read that scripture, you can encourage yourself and say, "Woo! I'm going to resist the devil. I'm going to kick down doors and take names." But it's a little harder to stomach the fact that I've got to submit my agenda, my plans to God. And if you're a control freak, guess what? It's really hard. I don't dare ask how many control freaks are out there. Some of you are already thinking, well, yeah. But it's extra hard. But if you're going to win the fight, you got to submit yourselves, therefore, to God and resist the devil, and he will flee for you. And Paul heard this as he was writing his second letter to the church of Corinth, and he said this in 2 Corinthians 12:9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for you. In Peter, you'll even find it, 1 Peter, I think it's chapter 5 and verse 11 or so, it says, by the grace of God, that we're only going to get through things by the grace of God. That's all. That's how we're going to get it. And the beautiful thing about the grace of God is simply this. It means unmerited favor, undeserved favor. It means all that. But there's more to that word that the Apostle Paul was wanting us to get the word picture of. For you see, grace means unmerited, undeserved favor. But it also means an extension towards favor by leaning in on. So here's what it is. When we submit to him, when we submit to him, that allows him to lean in over us. It really does. When we submit our agendas to him, it allows him to cover us. And as we begin to close this service out, I feel to tell somebody today that you've been trying long enough to do it your own way. Long enough to keep your grip on it. And for whatever reason, I've watched people try to get a grip of Jesus in one hand and a grip of the devil in another hand and try to shake the mess out of the devil, but they get it mixed up. They lose hold of Jesus and let the devil get a hold of them. But I tell us today, the only way you and I will ever survive the fight is submit yourself to God. It's not easy. It's not easy. It is not easy. But our level of power and authority over any one thing depends solely on our willingness to submit ourselves to God. If for some reason some want to keep hold of their agenda, and I don't know why, I wish I knew, I'd have all the answers then. But we're human, and there's times we want to hold on to it. We tend to argue back and forth with God. Well, God, this is what I'm doing, and try to negotiate the terms of our salvation. He's like, am I going to be in charge or not? Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. What you and I have to do submit. Just give it to Jesus. And yes, you'll fall short. You'll make mistakes. The only way Paul made it, he said, I heard this. My grace is sufficient for you. Because guess what? Not only will I give you favor, but I'll lean in close to you. Right now, would you grab the hand of the person next to you if it's appropriate? And if you're willing and able, would you step up from where you are? And would you, in your own ways, in your own words, submit yourself, therefore, to God? That means literally giving up your agenda, giving up your ways, giving up your thoughts, becoming solely at the feet of Jesus. Right now, would you lift a hand to heaven? Come on, somebody, begin to talk to the Lord in your own. You know what you're dealing with. You know what you've been holding on to. Yes, you do. It's time to fight the good fight. It's time to fight the good fight. Be fully persuaded. You need to be fully persuaded. Right now, begin to talk to the Lord in your own way, with your own words. As we begin to sing this song right now, would you begin to talk to Jesus? The only way we're going to win is if we submit ourselves, therefore, to God. Yes, that's the only way. God, I can't do this on my own. I've tried, Lord. I keep holding on to this.
There is no height or depth.
Come on, somebody, right now, begin to talk to the Lord.
Can take me from all
God,
that
I submit my ways to you.
Now,
I give them up to you. And Lord, the fight is up close and personal. It's not fair. The only way I'm going to fight
no
the good fight is to submit my will, my agenda, my plans to you.
Now or to come. There's
the only way I'm
going
to win this fight is if I just give up and give it to you, Jesus. It's
Lord.
The only way. Come on, somebody, lift your voice. Lift your voice to the Lord. Whatever it is
your
that you've been dealing with, give it to Jesus.
To your hands
whatever
be
you've been hanging on to, give it to Jesus. Oh, salvation is not elusive.
Your
it's for every one of us. It's for every one of us.
For our freedom.
But it takes us giving
we're
up.
Made alive
giving it in over to Jesus. Right now, come
we
on, in your own way.
To your throne where we belong.
Come on, lift your voice,
every
oh God, I give it to you.
Sing that Jesus is Lord, casting all else aside. For the
come
joy
on, give it
of
up to
Christ,
Jesus.
Let your glory fall.
Oh,
our
Pastor Foley, you knew how hard
fire.
It is. I know it's not easy. It's not easy. But if you want to win the fight, if you want authority over the devil and the enemy of our soul, you've got to give it
there
up.
There is no height or depth.
Oh, God, I need
neither
to give it to you, God. The secret places. That I won't let anybody in on, God. I give it to you. I give it to you, Jesus.
Lord,
I pray right now you'll give me the strength to fight the good fight.
No other powers or love.
Jesus, I've got to give myself to you. Yes, I'll make mistakes, but His grace is sufficient. It's all you need. It's Him leaning in on you. Then when He covers.
Your love is never ending. To your hands
come on,
we
talk
surrender.
To the Lord Jesus.
Where all our sins are washed away.
Oh, Jesus.
Your grace beyond reason has paid for our freedom. We're made alive in
oh,
you.
Oh, God, put your foot down in my
we're
life.
We run to your throne where we belong.
Put your foot
every
down in my life, Jesus.
Sing.
Put your foot
Jesus
down.
Is
you
Lord,
have all
casting all us aside. For
life,
the joy of our Christ, let your glory fall. Our
Jesus,
hearts are filled with your
right
fire. We're unto your throne, where we belong.
Jesus,
every
I pray
heart
right
will
now,
sing
let me submit
that
my will
Jesus is
to
Lord,
you.
Casting all us aside.
God,
for the joy
I give you my fears. I give you my anxiety, Lord Jesus. I give it all to you, Jesus. Jesus, I'm submitting my ways to you. I'm giving you my stress. I'm giving you my personal problems, oh God. I'm giving you those secret places. I'm giving you those secret places of my heart, Lord. I'm giving you those places that I don't want everybody to know about, but I'm giving it to you because this fight is personal. It's up close and personal. Yes, yes, yes. Come on, somebody. Begin to talk to the Lord. It's up close and personal.
By his new peers and
come on, somebody. It's up close and personal. The Spirit of God is still in this place. We've got people submitting themselves right now all across this place, submitting their will, their plan, their purpose to God. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee.
The power of sin is broken.
Yes.
Jesus overcame.
Yes, yes, Jesus, right now, oh God, have your way in my life.
And he has won our freedom. Jesus has won it all.
Oh, yes, Lord Jesus, I submit my will. way we're going to win this fight is submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You know, we read it earlier in 2 Corinthians 10, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Casting down imaginations and every high thing exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. That literally means this. When your submission is fulfilled. The only way we're going to win the fight is we've got to submit to God. Will you fall? Will you make mistakes? Will you at times attempt to pick up your own agenda? Yes, you will. But that's when he says, my grace is sufficient. My grace. It's unmerited, undeserved favor. Not just that, but that's literally, he leans in. And when Jesus leans in, he covers you. Would you clap your hands one more time unto the Lord and thank him? And let's pray right now. Lord Jesus, you are at work among us. God, I pray right now, help us, Lord, to submit our will to you. I pray in Jesus' name, every single day we present our life, our agenda, our plans to you. Have your way. Cover us. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody say, in Jesus' name. Before you're dismissed, look at somebody and say, see my finger, see my thumb, see my fist, you better run. Now don't go and leave now. There's a whole lot of baked potatoes out there just waiting on you to fill your body full of starch so you can't barely walk. Free will donations. God bless you in Jesus' name. Let's fight the good fight and take this week on in the name of the Lord. God bless you in Jesus' name.